الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. أياما معدودات. صدق الله المولانا العظيم. We were discussing the second phrase of this ayat, كتب عليكم الصيام, that rosas have been made farad upon you. Ulama have written that our rosas have not been made only farad on the three aspects of roza, not eating, drinking, and not satisfying one's sexual desire. That is the basic, the farad, without which roza cannot stand. But then, rozas have been made farad on every part of the body also. On the eyes, that they don't look at haram. The ears, that they don't hear haram. The tongue, that it does not speak anything haram. The whole, or all the parts of the body also. In that, we had discussed the first part, that is roza of the tongue and the treatment of it also. Then roza of the eyes and its treatment. And with regard, we finished off yesterday where we explained that hidden humility is more dangerous than hidden pride is more dangerous than pride itself also. And we came to the point where our Shaykh, Hazrat Maulana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib, rahimahumullah, was a Hakim also. Hazrat's name is known by Hakim Akhtar. But Hakim are two meanings also. One is, in fact, more meanings. One is a Hakim, a herbalist, a doctor, a herbalist doctor. That is where Hazrat was, that he qualified in that. And Hakim also refers to a wise person. And a Hakim also refers to a Sufi, those people who know the hikmat, wisdom. And that is also, Hazrat has got that also. All meanings of Hakim fit Hazrat perfectly and correctly. So anyway, being a Hakim, Hazrat said that a person who has got a hidden fever, it's a latent fever, it's inside the body, it's not out. You don't feel it. So if that person carries on with his normal duties, going to work, day-to-day chores, he sees to everything. And one person who has an open fever, he can feel the fever, the heat, the fever is there, he goes for treatment and he takes his treatment. But that person which is inside, and that if fever is not made out, that is a dangerous fever. That fever can turn into TB also. And it can become very dangerous and it can be fatal also. And the major danger part of it is that a person doesn't take notice of it because it's hidden. It's inside the body. So just like that, one is that pride which is open. Eh? And a person could possibly make out also, I've got pride. But one is that pride which is here, which is kept hidden behind humility. He acts humble. In order to bring humility, the starting point, one treatment, which our Shaykh Rahmatullah has taught us, that every person should say to himself daily, on a daily basis, and take your name and address yourself, and say, Abdul Hamid, presently amongst all the Muslims, you are the lowest and the worst. And then as far as maut is concerned, Abdul Hamid, as far as maut is concerned, you are worse and the lowest than all animals also and all non-believers also. This needs a little bit explanation. We will try and do that explanation. That presently amongst all Muslims, you don't know that Muslim which you are seeing who might, you might think he is low. He hasn't got namaz in his life. He's not dressed according to sunnah. He appears to be far from deen. But there may be some quality in him which Allah loves very much. And on the other hand, you might be appearing to have lot of deen in you. Your appearance also, your functioning, your ibadat also. But there may be one quality which Allah dislikes also. And therefore, you may be a write-off by Allah, and that person may have great value. With regard to this, Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi has written that a certain person in a village, it was known for all his evil habits, womanizer, gambling, drinking, everything, whatever evil you can think, and not one good sign, not one good quality in that person. He passed away, and because of his evil reputation, nobody came to his funeral. Not family, not neighbors, not friends, nobody came to his funeral. His body was going to swell up and burst after 3 days, and will cause a health hazard, big problems. So the wife hired 4 laborers, and told them, take this body of my husband and you give ghusl as you people know. Eh? And ghusl, we go to a lot of lengths to try and do it very much correctly, which we should according to sunnah. But anyone who had the experience of any family member passing away in Makkah Sharif or Medina Sharif, the people who work there, they work with hundreds of mayyats every day. And how they handle that mayyat, you will get a shock. And they just take a hose pipe and water it finish. Turn it around, water it. Ghusl is done, go. Now, and we, how we take so much of care, how we do it. So anyway, these laborers, what they know how to give ghusl, so, and it's a laborer. And a laborer looks at a thing from a labor's point. Laborer, I must just get my money. Whatever, however I do the job, as long as I can get my money. So, give him ghusl as you know and as you want to, and then take him to the qabristan. As laborers, they most probably are ignorant of deen, can't make janazah namaz also. If you find somebody to make janazah, well and good. If not, bury him even without janazah namaz. Because now his body is dangerous here. They gave ghusl as they could, they took him to the qabristan. Allah shan, the great wali of that time, the great buzurg, the greatest anim in that area of that time, Allah put it in his heart that my wali's janazah is in the qabristan, get up and go and perform his janazah namaz. So he complied, it was command, it was Allah made ilham, put it in his heart. When he went to the qabristan, they saw he's this man. They got a shock, but they read finished, they made the janazah namaz. After that, they went straight to his wife's house, and they said, we thought your husband is a terrible person, but Allah said he's his wali. Who was he? We never knew him. Then the wife explained, as you people know him, I also know him to be like that. He was like that, an evil person, wrong habits, etc. But however, he had 2 qualities in him. One, he always kept an orphan child in the house. And he would say that the child's food comes before his food. The child's clothing comes before his clothing. That he was always very particular about. The other thing is, he would come home late at night, 12, 1, 2, drunk, in a bad condition, napak, in need of a ghusl, everything bad. But in the early hours, wee hours of the morning, he would get up, bath with cold water, by which he would become sober. Then he would make tawbah and istighfar and cry to Allah. And attaibu min adham kaman la dhambala. A person who keeps on making tawbah of his guna is like a person who got no guna. So we don't know which person has got which qualities. And yourself, you might be thinking you have got great qualities. A great buzurg who said this beautiful words, naaz-e taqwa se phir achi hai, niaz-e randi. Naaz, there are 2 words, naaz and niaz. Naaz is to be arrogant, like boastful, or to understand it easily, like a wife makes naaz with her husband. Though she is under the husband, but she bosses him all around. And how she speaks to him also. And she carries on like she is the big boss. And the husband tolerates it. That is called naaz. Or like children, how they will come to you, and they beg of you of this, and they demand it, and they insist, I want it. They got no right to command and demand. That is called naaz. And niaz is to be humble, to beg, to be subservient, to be low, just to accept. That is called niaz. So naaz is taqwa, a person who got taqwa, but he's got naaz by Allah Ta'ala. He feels, I'm a big buzurg. There's nobody like me. This is like a wife, she tells you also, I'm your only one. There's nobody like me, I'm your only one. children, and who can the wife go and ask? She's not going to go and ask your brother and beg and tell him that, no, you have to buy me a new pair of shoes. Her husband, she can demand and she can behave like that with the husband, and she has the right to do it. And she must be allowed to do it also. By nobody else she can do that. Children, they're not going to go and ask the man on the street that I want sweets or something. They will beg you. They will demand it from you. So the children also have the right to make this naz. But it must be done. So this naz, this sort of this attitude, bossy attitude, big to have a, like a show, I'm the only one. That a person who got taqwa and he feels by Allah, I'm like that. One is those people who are majzoob, who are marfu'ul kalam, they are not responsible for their actions. Those people, they ask Allah what they want to and their behavior is different. But a normal person cannot act in that way. So the sort of pride that comes, and there are two types of pride that we have explained also. One is according to Sharia, just like lirrijali maruf. وَعَاشِرُهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. That treat your woman with ma'aruf. Ma'aruf are two meanings. One is, as the Quran and Hadith has commanded you how you must treat them. What the instructions of Quran and Hadith. And ma'aruf is also from urf. That in society, how it is, how you have to treat a wife. A person who combines this has a happy marriage, very happy marriage. A person who only has the Shari side, that Allah's commands, he keeps his wife 24 hours in the house. That command, Allah, وَخَرْنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُنْ. You're not allowed to leave your house. And he puts heavy, heavy laws and rules upon her. That person will break his marriage. Nobody can manage that. But you look in society also that how people are treating. And that wife will say, that person treats his wife, Maulana treats his wife like this, Hazrat treats his wife like this, Hazrat gives this permission, she will also feel. So see in society also and combine the two. In society, don't go out of Sharia. And in Sharia, don't make the life of society so hard. In between. So just like that, pride, one is Shari'i pride. And that is that batrul haq wa ghamtun nas. That a proud person doesn't accept his faults. People tell him he doesn't accept his mistakes. And the other is ghamtun nas. That he looks down upon people. He thinks I'm better. Now many people are within that confines. But the pride which is in society, what people think this is a proud person, they don't worry about that. Many buzurgs are like that. They don't worry what the people can think about us. And according to Sharia, we must be clear. But if you don't take into consideration society also, what they think is of your attitude. We speak of many people. He's got an attitude problem. The way he comes for over, the way he has got an aura that is of him, or like a proud person. He's not humble. He doesn't use humble words. To be humble, you don't have to use humble words according to Sharia. But according to society, if you don't use these humble words, they will. This is a proud person, and people have hatred for a proud person. And the public, you can't expect them to be knowing about Ghamtun Nas and Batrul Haq. What they know about those things, they don't know. They take it according to their norms, according to the norms of society. They judge it according to that. So combine the two, and you will be safe. So anyway, a person, naz-e taqwa, he's got taqwa. He's a pious person, but this pride built in him. Because of his taqwa, he's got pride. Ana wala ghairi, nobody is like me. And a goat, as long as it makes me, I'm the big one, that goat has to be slaughtered. So as when the goat, then that meh goes out of the goat when it gets slaughtered. But as long as it makes meh, it's giving da'wah, come and slaughter me, I'm here. I'm ready for slaughtering. So a person who also may, he gets slaughtered at the slaughterhouse of the public. People dislike him. They throw him out. That he's a very proud person. He's got an attitude problem. So we must be careful about that. So the poet says, naze taqwa se, compared to this taqwa this person has got, which is a very great quality, but that brought pride in him. نیاز تقوی سے پھر اچھی ہے نیاز رنڈی. رنڈی اے پروسٹیٹیوٹ who lives her life in open sin, and she also knows she's in sin, but she's crying to Allah all the time. Ya Allah, what am I doing? Why am I doing this? Oh Allah, you save me from this. That condition of hers where she's committing a major crime, a very big guna, but she's crying to Allah. She's more better than this person who has got taqwa, but pride has come in him. And pride, we should remember, comes from many things. A person who has taqwa doesn't commit guna. He looks down upon people who commit guna. He is worse than those people who are committing the gunas. A person who gets knowledge. Knowledge is a common thing by which a person gets pride in him. When a person, he looks and he speaks also, yes, of jahil hai. These are all ignorant people. And these are all jahils. What they know? They know nothing. And he carries on and behaves like that also. So these good qualities, but they bring pride. On one occasion, one student, I explained to the students that if you wear amama, by all good, by all means wear sunnah. But if it's bringing pride in you, then don't wear the amama. Pride is haram, so amama is sunnah. And if it's bringing pride in you, the student asked one senior ustad of ours that this is what Maulana said. So Maulana, that ustad said, where can sunnah bring pride in a person? That amama can't bring pride in a person. So then I replied and I said that the Quran Sharif says to the Sahaba, when the Quran was being revealed, Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam was present, and Nasse Qurani is ajabatkum katratukum. When the Sahaba were in big numbers, and they went in the battle of Hunain, Quran says, when pride came in you because of your big numbers. So pride can come into any person, and then just because of that, the Muslims, the Sahaba, the initial loss they had suffered, so much so that the rumor became rampant that Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam has been made shaheed also. All this was that pride that had come, that we are big in numbers. When we were in small in numbers, we won battles after battles. Who and who we overcome came. Now we are big in numbers. Now today nobody can stand in front of us. So therefore this pride is a very, very, it's a killer disease. And pride is the father who is born an illegitimate child, and that illegitimate child is anger. Anger comes from pride. The illegitimate child that is born from pride is anger. So these are very dangerous things, and they are there within a person, and a person has to identify it needs a lot of effort, and then to treat it needs a lot of effort. So just let's complete this poem also, that niyaz taqwa se phir achhi hai niyaz taqwa niyaz randi jah taqwa se jah zahid se jah zuhd se phir achhi hai meri ruswai. Zuhd is also a very good quality, abstinence from dunya, living only a frugal life on the bare necessities of life, which is a very good thing. No extravagance, even forget extravagance is out of the question. Necessities also to the bare minimum, a very simple life with the bare necessities, but that has brought jah in a person, has brought pride in a person. To understand this, Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Sahib Rahmatullah explained one time to us that a great buzurg who was a buzurg, genuine buzurg, was going for hajj. On his way, he met a friend, and he was that poor type buzurg, who we normally think are buzurgs, who are poor, who don't have money, they don't have property, they don't have anything, so he is a buzurg. But this person was a genuine buzurg also, and he was this buzurg without dunya's attachments. On his way, he was passing another buzurg, his friend, but he was a wealthy person. And wealth can mix with buzurgi also. To be maldar is something else, and to be dunyadar is something else. To be maldar, wealthy, is permitted. To be dunyadar, even if you are a poor person and you got dunya's love in your heart, that is totally haram. So this poor buzurg was a wealthy person, but he was also a buzurg. So he stayed with him for a few days on his way. And the last day when he was on now leaving, he told him, we are going for hajj, why don't you also join us? Immediately he joined also. And he left and he joined them as they were leaving. On the last day they were making salam, why don't you also? He joined. On the next station when they reached, they were friends, informal, very open with one another. Then this first buzurg who didn't have dunya, and he was a great buzurg also, he said, I left my lota, my jug, I forgot it by your house. So the second buzurg was so wealthy, he says, is that all what your buzurgi is in one jug, your buzurgi is? That you don't have anything of dunya, this one jug you left behind. To make istinja, to make wuzu, you left it, and you say, and you are parishan now. And when you told me to join you for Hajj, I left my whole big house. I left all my business, I left all my workers. In one word sentence of yours, I left it. So who has got more dunya in his heart? Outward you got dunya, that doesn't matter. In the heart, who has got, there are many poor people who, mashallah, many rich people who can just give their dunya. One friend of ours who is sitting here, mashallah, every year his Hajj he goes for, and very wealthy, and how lot of things he has to see to. Every year's Umrah he sees to. Every year's Ahtikaf he comes here. So every year's Chilla in Jamaat he gives, sometimes 4 months in Jamaat. So does everything with all his riches. And how many of us, we got nothing when we can't leave anything also. The little we got, we can't even give that up. So that is with Zuhud, to have that quality that you haven't got. You can have a $10 million check right in the pocket by your heart, but don't have a cent in your heart. This is dangerous. To explain that, some very many years ago in one of our neighboring countries, a person had bought a new motor car, and he came home and he parked it on the pavement, on the road, and he went in to tell the family, now a new car has come, let's go for a drive, which is normal, you want to take your family there, bought a new car. So they came, and his little child of 4 or 5 years was playing there outside. He had a 6-inch rusted nail with him. He scratched the car from the front to the back, a brand new motor car. When this owner came, the father, and he saw it, it wasn't a scratch on the car, it was a scratch, he scratched the father's heart. Because the car wasn't on the pavement, on the street, the car was in his heart. The love of it, he had the love. He became so furious and angry that he grabbed that nail from him and scratched his arm from the top, from the wrist, right up to the elbow. And with a big man's force, he scratched it, and a rusted nail. It became gangrene, turned poisonous, and then they had to amputate that arm. When the father visited him after his arm was amputated, and the child cried and said, Daddy, I'll never scratch your car again, give me my arm back again. That arm cannot come back again, it's gone forever. So this is that anger also. This is that love of dunya also. That the car wasn't outside on the pavement, on the street. The car was sitting in his heart. And one scratch, and perhaps after that he might have got 20, 30 new cars every third, fifth year, whenever he wants to change his car. But that arm, he can never get it back. So the zuhud, this also to be abstinence of dunya is a good quality, but if it brings pride in it, jar, proud, that I am a person who lives very frugal life, very simple life, and usually a person like this, he has got problems with everyone in life. People are eating good food, he's got a problem, because he's living very simple. People take out a new car, he's got a problem. People, whatever they're enjoying, he's got a problem. So pride becomes into a person. Jahe zuhad se, phir achhi hai meri ruswai. And a person who have got caught in a guna and got exposed in that guna, and now he's being disgraced and humiliated, but he's crying to Allah Ta'ala. That person, though he's crying and he's known for the whole world today with all internet and WhatsApp and all the emails, the whole world know immediately what happened where. That person in that bad condition but he's crying to Allah, he's more better than that Zahid, than that person who has got Zuhud, but pride Jah has come into him. So this is that you think yourself to be the lowest amongst all Muslims presently. Hazrat Maulana Shah Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali says that whenever I make bayan, I make it from this viewpoint that of all who are present, I am the lowest of all. And in fact, a person has got no right. He is not permitted to make bayan until he doesn't think he is the lowest. So that is the first part, that amongst all Muslims, but say to yourself on a daily basis, and also take your name, and take your own name. One friend of ours came and he says, for how many years I'm reading this wazifa, that Abdul Hamid, presently, amongst all the Muslims, you are the worst. Now, you know, take your own name, what your own name is. Don't go and use my name. I will use my name. You use your own name. So, the other is that as far as non-believers are concerned, I am the worst. Why is this? That is, Iman is better than kufr. Those people are kafirs. We have got Iman. Iman is better. There is not a comparison of Iman and kufr. There is the comparison of the person who's got Iman with the person who has got kufr in him. So you would say that a person who's got Iman is better? He is better. But who gave you guarantee you're going to die on Iman? At the time of Maut, and many people, just before Maut, they accept Iman. There are many people like that. I'll just digress again a little bit, in which there will be also a lot of benefit, and which is very required in our present times. For maybe about 5-6 years ago, we were on our safar, we were in Delhi, and by my wife, Appa's cousin, we were staying at his place. And he's got a top position in a post office in India. So he mixes a lot of work as an inspector, a top inspector. He's an inspector on the inspectors. And he mixes a lot of with the Hindus. So he told us there that presently, I can tell you from my association and meeting with the Hindus, the vast majority of them are tired, and they admit that Hinduism is no religion. It's got no reality. There is no foundation of it. It's nothing. It's a false religion. And by heart they are Muslims. But because of the government pressure and society, they can't say they are Muslims. After that we went to Iran, and we met, the first night we were in Tehran. And by one Maulana Ubaidullah, who hosted us, and he had arranged, because all the arrangements were made before, an ulama program for the night. We had the program, quite a number of ulama had come, and during the bayan, I saw one person who was very impressed, taking good effect of the bayan. After that we were having tea, so I asked, who is this person? So they told he was a Shia who became a Sunni, a Muslim. So I was surprised. They say nothing to be surprised. Many of them are accepting Islam. And they also realize that Shiaism is nothing. This that they promoting Shiaism so much, and Christianity so much, this is all political stunts and for political points to in order to control the world. And Christianity, that is being so much missionary work is being done to promote Christianity. If Christianity, they believed it was good, the churches won't be being sold in so big numbers. And they won't be abandoning, and their churches have become monuments, empty structures. If they know that Christianity, and they're not making missionary work, doesn't work in Europe and America to make the people Christians there. They go to Africa and to Asia. Why? They want to rule this white supremacy, and that we are the rulers, that is a political stunt there. There is no genuineness in there. The same thing with Shiaism is also just a political stunt. And the same is with Salafism. Salafism also is no reality. It is just a political stunt to give, to rule, to give power to the government that is ruling. So anyway, so they told that a lot of people are accepting, are becoming Sunnis. The next day was Friday, and we were going to the place we had to go to, Zahidan, where there are Muslims in huge numbers. There is also a complete wrong perception that Iran is Shia. Iran, if it isn't more than 50% Sunnis, it's not less than 50% also. Right in the capital city, Tehran also. But there is all, it's just all covered up. Just like the Soviet Union or China, the secrets they don't out. Iran also works in that same pattern. Anyway, so the next day when we were leaving, and he has got a nice big house. And also, Zohar you can see, simplicity. Hardly, not a chair there. You sit on the floor only. Not a couch. In the bedroom, not a bed. When sleeping time, they will pull out like a mattress, a thick mattress, and put it down, and you sleep on it. In the morning you peck it, the room is clear, clean, clean, clean. Nothing you find, no furniture, nothing. It's just like that they love. So anyway, and the top is the musalla. And a big place, madrasa during the day, five times namaz, and one Maulana Abdul Hamid there, mashallah, he's got such great fikr that he has established 25 such places in Tehran itself, where not one masjid is allowed. Even the Saudi embassy, where they have to allow Shias to come to Saudi, when they know they are not Muslims, but the political pressure is put on them, they have to accept. But the Saudi embassy can't also build a masjid in Tehran. They could build a masjid in the Vatican, but they can't build a masjid in Tehran. So, and they have to make their Juma namaz in the embassy. They have not permission of a single, according to constitution it's allowed. If you speak to a Shia, he will quote their constitution. Freedom of religion for everyone. But practically, not one masjid is allowed. So anyway, that whole place gets full with namaz. And about four or five places, they have Juma namaz like this. So I ask that Maulana Ubaidullah, if this is the case, then I'm sure you got a problem. All your neighbors are Shias. And parking, they must be parking in front of all the people's houses inevitably, in front of somebody's gate also, his driveway. So he said, these people, they are bizarre. They got nothing to do with Shiism. They realize that there is nothing. And by character, they got good character. They don't give us any problems. We live amicably with them. But they got nothing to do with Shiism. Then after that, we came home. It was just before Bakr Eid. And we had a family get together at my brother-in-law's place in Rudipur. And at the gathering, he explained that the past 4-6 weeks, about 5-6 Hindus passed away in Rudipur and Azadwal also. And he said each of them, before they passed away, they said that we are Muslims since so long. We have concealed it. When we die, give us husal kafan like Muslims, janaza namaz, and bury us in the qabristan, Muslims qabristan. So we don't know who are Muslims. Many people accept Islam. And who gave us the guarantee that our mort is going to come on Iman? As we read in the kitab, mort ki yaad, how many people who we think whole life they were Muslims, but how their mort came? It came on kufr. It didn't come on Islam. So we should be very, very frightened. Abu Talib, how close wasn't he to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? But at the time of his mort, he said, akhtartul anar alal ar. I prefer the fire that my people must say that because of Islam, because of his nephew, he accepted Islam. So I'd rather prefer the fire of Jahannam. So a person has got no right to be proud in any way whatsoever. So, and also, the kafir might accept Islam, we got no guarantee. And the animals, for them there is no Jahannam, there is no azab for them. Whatever, if they made zulm on another animal, one goat butted another goat, etc., or something, then the revenge they will take, Allah will let them take their revenge, and they will be turned into dust. And then finish, end of the story. For us, if we were also going to be turned to dust, it was a bargain. But if we have to go in the fire of Jahannam, forget the kafirs who will go permanently. Muslims, if they have to go and pay for their sins, we can't tolerate one mosquito here. We can't tolerate one fly. That small azab of Jahannam is so big that there is no azab like it in the dunya. And to go and stay there for one hukat, what a long period. One little bit of pride, one namaz a person must, and he did not make tawbah of it, and he didn't make his qaza-i umri, and Allah punishes him for it. What is he going to pay? How much is he going to pay for it there? So a person must correct himself here. So this pride is a very, very dangerous thing. And so this, first of all, say these words to yourself, that Abdul Hamid, presently, amongst all the Muslims, I am the worst. And according to the time of death, amongst all kafirs and animals, I am the worst. So these are words, don't only depend on the words. One time, Maulana Muhammad Umar Sahib Palanpuri, Rahmatullah Ali, he was also a great buzurg, very great buzurg. One person who always writes his name, when he writes a letter at the end, Nange Aslaf, I'm the black spot of our Aslaf, our pious people. Or La Shay, I am nothing. Akhkar, I am the lowest of all. Many people write the sign of their names in this way, but that is just formality. There is no reality. We get fooled with that. So one person who should write like this always, he met Hazrat in Masjid Nabawi, and Hazrat told him straight away, "Kaise ho, are gada? How are you, oh donkey?" He got very offended. So Hazrat said, "I praised you. You say yourself, you write yourself as la shay, that you are nothing. I made you a big thing. I made you a donkey from nothing. I made you a donkey. You should tell me jazakallah." But this shows that it is just all words, no reality in a person. And then the next is, if you want this, say it to yourself. Some people are too shy even to take their name and say, "I am the worst. How can I say that? I know I'm not the worst. I'm not the worst at all. We haven't got it in us." So at least that's the starting point. Also, our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali says, to defeat and to annihilate this disease of pride, in order to have tawbah, istighfar, plant the seed first, just the words alone. And don't think the tree is going to grow by the next morning and you're going to get your mangoes. It will take you time for the tree to grow and for it to bear its fruit. But plant the seed. So this is planting the seed. The next stage, if you want the treatment, that is, then in front of your sheikh, that is why have a sheikh, become bayat, and have utmost of humility in front of your sheikh. Ask for forgiveness any mistake you make, or you apprehend I made a mistake. This, to ask for forgiveness, it takes a lot within a person. A person who has got pride will never, he'll justify himself. One lawyer wrote recently on a certain point, that to justify the crime is a bigger crime than the crime itself. So many people, husband and wife, never will wonder where there is pride, never will they say, "I was wrong, please forgive me." Will justify, and or you want to score points. You did this at that time. You telling me to make get up for Fajr on time. What about you, your namazes? Always they'll be attacking one another, scoring points against one another. And to say, "Jazakallah, you brought this to my attention, I really appreciate it." That only if you got that humility. Otherwise you can't accept your fault. Though you are telling yourself all the time, "I'm worse than the feces of the animals, of the pig's feces, I'm worse. I'm worse than this also, I'm worse than the dogs also." But the minute something goes against your tabiat, not even anything else, just it didn't go according to, there you see you get cross, you get upset. You haven't still got taslim in you. You haven't got tawadu still in you. In order for this, the best place to get it, and that is why you must have a share, that it is easy. First of all, to make a share, only if your pride has been cut a certain amount, then you are prepared to make a share. Otherwise, what I need this old man in my life for? Sheikh means old man, literally. And a person who reaches that position before becoming an old man, he is also given the title of sheikh, whether he's 30 or whether he's 40. But there are certain conditions also. Everyone is not just given khilafat, that's a different subject again. Though he might be even, Maulana Thanvi rahmatullah Ali says, every murid of mine is fit to get khilafat. But there are other things also, criteria to see who you give khilafat to. Anyway, so every person doesn't just get khilafat also. So when you go, you become murid to a sheikh, this cuts you down to size to a great extent. And if you maintain a proper relationship, if you retain, just by name you became murid, you signed a contract with somebody and then you're not making your first payment also. In 30 days you are supposed to make a payment. In 30 days you are supposed to deliver goods, you're doing nothing. That contract, when it's by itself, it just falls away. It's no contract. You're not fulfilling anything. So a person who becomes a murid, but doesn't even inform the sheikh anything of his conditions. Hadrat Sheikh al-Hadith Manal Zakaria Sahib Rahmatullah, what a great sheikh. He wrote in his latter part of his life that these are all my murids. He had a list of all his murids, But how many of them, they don't even keep any contact. I don't know what is their condition. A sheikh is not Allah. He's not Alimul Ghaib. So you don't write your condition. What's your condition? The Hazrat said, those who write to me and I know, become, after I pass away, you become bayat to them. Those I don't know about them, I don't know what is their condition, I can give you advice, you must become bayat to them. So those who do their own things, their lives, they live on their own, they do their own decision, they go on suffer on their own, They come back, at the most, perhaps just for dua, they will inform the chef. Make dua. But no information of what we are doing, what is our condition, and that is what is the meaning of keeping contact with the chef. And the main thing is to write your diseases. Many people, when they keep contact with the chef, the contact is only that we are making five times namaz, we are having majlis regularly, we are doing this, mashallah, so many brothers, this benefit. It's like you're going to doctor and you say, mashallah, my BP is in order, my cholesterol is in order, I got no problem. Doctor will ask, for what you came here? If you go to doctor for your problem, so your share also, your contact you keep and you write, is you write your weaknesses, that I got this, and a person who feels I got no weakness, he's the sickest person. He is the person who got all the weaknesses. So we are still very, very far from the mark. And the worst is, if you are far from the mark and you know that you are far, not a problem. You will come nearer, hopefully. But the person who's far and who thinks I made already, that person is not going to come anywhere near. How is he going to come close and come to the object? So this pride is a terrible thing. One buzurg, he was a genuine buzurg also. He had prepared for Jummah, clean clothes, ghusl, everything. And on the way for Jummah namaz, he had to cross a bridge. A very narrow bridge, where only one person can pass at a time. As he came to this side of the bridge, a dog was coming from that side. So he made a sign to the dog, you go down, I want to pass. I'm Ashraful Makhlukat, I'm insan, I'm a buzurg, I'm going for Jummah, I've prepared. Allah gave the dog tongue to talk, and the dog, Allah, that is in Allah's qudrat. So the dog told him, you go down and let me cross first. So he said, but I'm going for Jummah in there. And the dog said, you go through the bottom. And at the bottom, where was raw sewage, mud, muck, and all filth and dirt, all that was moving there. And how can I go through there? If you go through there, no problem, you got no Jummah to make. And you're not going for Jummah namaz. The dog said, if you go through that muck and your trouser gets dirty, your clothes, your feet become dirty with all that raw sewage, that filth, dirt, one lota of water, you can clean it all and you can become park and clean. But if you let me go through the bottom and you think you are better than me, that you're a buzurg, you have got clean clothes, you going for Jummah, you are better than an animal also. Then, and amongst the animal, the dog is regarded as a very low animal. And that you think yourself to be better than me, then all the water of the seven oceans cannot clean that pride which you have got in your heart. So and the dog told him, I'm doing this favor and informing you. For us, which dog is going to inform us? Which ant will inform us? Which animal will inform us? We're not prepared to listen to the wife. We are not, but this buzurg was prepared. He said, last week, you did a favor to a family member of mine. A puppy was shivering in the cold. It was all dirty. He gave instructions, wash this puppy and give it some food to eat, etc. and look after it. Because you looked after one family member, I'm doing a favor and I'm telling you about your disease. And now you treat it. So this is that pride that we have got. And we are sitting and suffering with it. We are not prepared to ask for forgiveness. We are not prepared to humble ourselves. This is very, very important. So with this eyes, you look down upon somebody, it's very, very dangerous. And you think that I am better than the next person. And after all, Allah created us from sand. Sand and water. Allah knows you perfectly. Allah is a person who made the parcel. He knows what is in the parcel. Today, when you check in at the airlines, they ask you, did you pack your bags yourself? Did somebody interfere with your bags? Because you know what is in your bag. You are supposed to be knowing properly. So Allah packed your bag. Allah knows what I put in here. Huwa a'lamu bikum. Idh ansha'akum min al-ard, when He took you out from the ground. He took you out from not only sand, but clay. Sand still is, you touch sand, not so bad. You dust your hands and that. But when you work with clay, then you plan to put cream also. And you see that woman also, after every wuzu, they take out the cream and they're rubbing cream all the time. Just because they touched water. And today not woman, men also. After every wudu, you see cream coming out, rubbing on the hands, rubbing on the face. We also have become like women. So anyway, so from that Allah made you. What you got to, shaitan had no right to be proud. But logically, he used this mantik and he used it wrongly. He said, I'm made of fire. Fire goes up. So in some way you could justify shaitan to have that pride. That fire is made of fire, fire goes. Man is made of sand. It goes down, it lays down. What right has man got to be proud? If shaitan was thrown out of Jannah because of the pride of his, and in a sense you could say that he could think, he's wrong thinking. According to his wrong thinking, he could be justified. I'm made of fire, fire goes up. How can I make sajda to something that goes on? He didn't see the command of Allah. And that also you cannot understand by knowledge, but by love. Ishq is the thing that you'll admit Allah Ta'ala's commandment. And that is also what we have to develop when you stay by your shaykh. That if you judge your shaykh with your knowledge, you won't benefit anything. But if you submit ishq, you have got love for your shaykh, and you accept everything he says, that person will benefit tremendously. But those who murids, who find fault everything, who will judge the shaykh, does he make amal on this sunnah? Is he making amal on this sunnah? What is he doing? That person doesn't benefit. But a person who is drowned in ishq, that person benefits tremendously. So shaitan also, he couldn't benefit from Allah Ta'ala. And who is he? Azazil. His name is also on the scale, on the pattern of all the malaika, Israfil, Jibreel, Mikael, on that scale his name was also. He's that person, that jinn, that had made ibadat on every nook and corner of the world. There isn't a span of hand where he didn't make sajda. He's that person who had so much knowledge of all the shariats, of all the anbiya, the juz'i, the small print, and the little, he had knowledge of all that also. But he did not have ishq, love of Allah. That whatever the any law is, ishq is above that. When a husband and wife make love at night, and what he promises the wife at night. But in the morning, then is a different story. Then he says, Kalamul Layl Yamhuhu Nahar. The talk of the night, the day has rubbed it all out. That was bedroom talk. That was in the bed. But in actual reality, that's a different talk. That's something else. So anyway, so this reality, this pride is a killer disease. And this is also that we have to keep roza about. And realize our humility. Control your eyes, not only looking at haram, woman, etc. That is totally haram. And as we had explained so many points, what destruction of your iman in there also. But worse than that is to look down upon somebody. To think I'm better. Whether you think you're better than the wife also. Man also, they ar-rijalu qawwamuna ala, we are the big bosses. Quran said we are the bosses. We haven't understood the Quran. Quran made you responsible, didn't make you a big boss. And there are many women who surpass men in qualities. And in qualities, there is no man, is not a preferential class over woman. It is your inside qualities. If the woman has got humility in her, if she has got piety in her, if she has got sincerity in her, she can surpass. And how many women have surpassed so many men? Men cannot dream where the woman have reached. So that is the inside qualities. So this pride, we have to work on that also. So the first treatment, that you speak to yourself. The second, in front of your share, then it will rub off. Then you will see a difference will come in the family life. One friend of ours who used to have a lot of anger, and anger stems from pride. That is from where it comes. On one Sunday morning, his son phoned me. Young son who was still, didn't have a driver's license, but he could drive. And he reversed the father's car out of the garage and he scratched the car. The son said, I knew that 100% I'm a dead man today. By Zohar is janaza in our town. Because he knew the anger of his father. But the father, he was keeping contact, mashallah. The son was so surprised, he phoned, my father didn't tell me a word. He told me, you must be more careful. You must be, he said, I can't believe this. Is this my father? This is when a person takes that treatment. This change comes into a person. Where the wife will see, now she can live. Otherwise, the poor wife is living in Jahannam. You might be thinking, I am providing everything for her. I keep her very well. But with your attitude that you have got, you are keeping her so tense and that she can't even speak a word in front of you. You are keeping her in Jahannam. Your children, the way you treat, like I am the big boss, I know everything. And what the decisions I make, they are all correct. And I make the final decisions. You act like a big lord in your boss as if you are Allah. You are worse than Fir'aun. You are worse than Dajjal when you carry on in that way. And you think I got Khilafat and I'm second in charge and I'm the favorite of Hazrat and all that. These things help nothing whatsoever. This reality that humility has to come. And when it comes into a person, then you will see the change in the family life. You will see the change with your plans if you're an employer, if you're an employee. You will see the change in society. Otherwise, so many ulama, in my mind I've got this one particular alim, many others. MashaAllah, what piety, what knowledge. And when I should go to their place, I should make a point to go and sit by that alim. And I should benefit tremendously from him. And he had a lot of piety in the company of great buzurg. But just that attitude problem was a thing. That people, even when they just saw me sitting, they say, don't sit with him. You're going to get spoiled with him. And he should also told me, come, get up quickly now, go away. These people are coming and they're going to see you sitting with me. They'll put all things in your ears. But I knew him to be a great buzurg. So this is that even you can have a lot of knowledge. In fact, Hazrat Hasan Basri rahmatullah alayh, his mother worked in the house of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And when he was born, she gave birth. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala made the technique, the date that we chew, a pious person chews and puts in your mouth. Hazrat Umar made the technique of Hazrat Hasan Basri rahmatullah alayh. And he gave this dua when he made the technique. Allahumma faqqihu fi ddeen. وَحَبِّبْهُ إِلَى النَّاسِ. Oh Allah, give him the understanding of deen, tafaqquh. Make him a great alim, a great wali, a great alim. And make him beloved in the eyes of the people. Our Shaykh rahmatullah alayhi, he used to say, always, how many times we heard from Hazrat, that Hazrat Umar gave such a jami, concise dua. Few words, but were filled with meaning. Overbrimming with meaning, but the words are so little bit. That, oh Allah, make him a great alim, and at the same time, make it beloved to people. If he's a big alim, but he's got this attitude problem, perhaps he won't have pride according to Sharia, but he's got an attitude problem, the people keep distance from that person. They don't want to associate. And if he's got good akhlaq, and people love him, but he's got no knowledge, but people listen to whatever, he got no knowledge, he will spread bid'ah, innovations, things of shirk he will spread, all wrong things he will spread. So we can, having knowledge also, and at the same time, to have this, to be beloved by the people. There are so many ulama in the towns spit them out. They don't want to have them. Which Hazrat Hakim Luqman, rahmatullah alayhi, said, don't be so sweet that people swallow you. Don't be so bitter that people spit you out. So keep it in between, that you are so sweet and people, they just swallow you up. You got no value. And don't be so bitter that people spit you out. Otherwise, how many towns? You can't stay in your own town. The people spit you out and they don't want you. So this is all because of that attitude problem of ours. And we don't acknowledge it. And we feel that I know everything. And this, nothing can function without me. I'm the main point. I'm the kingpin in this whole business. Remember, nobody is indispensable. Whether it is any institution, whether it is any, millions of people thought they are indispensable. They are lying in the qabr, they are turned into sand, their bones have decayed also. And the world from what they were at that time, the world, and today where the world is gone. For example, just take 50 years ago, each one of us, wherever we are living, what our road conditions were, what the types of roads, etc. Just 50 years ago. And the people who were maintaining the roads, working on the roads, they thought, if I don't go to work, How the people going to, the traffic is so much. Even that time also they thought it's too much. That's why they built all the highways and byways and freeways and all those things. Today we got what roads. And those people who thought that if I don't go in, go to job, and I don't let the tractor go out, and I don't let this road machine go out, what will happen to the roads? All of them are in their covers, and if they have to see the roads today. 50 years ago, as we are sitting here, our parents, what business were they doing? We were little children, we knew what was the poverty in the house, the simplicity. And today the children are not only doing import-export trade, they are not only doing retail wholesale trade, they are doing big, big businesses. And that father of that time, 50 years ago, he also must have been thinking, if I don't open the shop, how will my children eat? But the children, today they are doing what? Then the day you die, and the first thing the family members, the wife say, take him to Qabristan first, and then we can decide what we want to do. You who thought they won't eat without you, without your opening the shop, they are saying first put him in the Qabristan. Get him out of the way first. Then we can again open the shop from tomorrow, and we can carry on. So we mustn't be deceived about these things, and we think we are great people and big people. So this pride is also a killer disease, and it needs treatment. And the treatment is every night minimum, when you lie down to sleep, say, I'm the worst of all Muslims. And bring that reality. When you make bayan, then also have that I'm saying this from Maulana Thanvi rahmatullahi alayhi says, whenever I make bayan, I think what need I got and I make bayan. Today we make bayan, that which bayan can we impress the crowd today? And what stories can we bring about in our bayan, and what can we say in order to impress the people? That whole bayan, what is it? It's nothing, hardly zero. It's nothing, not even an empty bubble that bayan is. And yet we're thinking, I'm doing deen's work, my life I sacrificed for deen. Only in the qabr we will know what we have done and what we have sacrificed. And then show your humbleness in front of your sheikh. After saying so many times, don't walk past your sheikh. But we see still a person just walks past and no thought about it. When is this humbleness? We're not listening also. Then when is this humbleness going to come? And then with your satis, with your family, let this humbleness come. Bring it in you. Then inshallah, part of this humbleness. And a person who brings humility and humbleness, the greatest sweet, it's so sweet the fruit of humility, you will enjoy your life. You will become happy. Pride is the most bitter, the most poisonous thing. And the heart is filled with this poison, with this bitter, bitter God, that fruit which is so bitter. How can you enjoy life? Bring humility, it is sweet. Its fragrance is, people will get attracted to you. People instantly go towards a person. How you walk, how your body action, your body language, all tells how much pride you have got. May Allah save us from this. Let us make the effort and make this Ramzan that we get the right qualities, and then see inshallah. And also a person who has got humility, your heart just goes open for that person. It's so easy to tell that person, do this, bring this, or whatever you want to, because he's got humility. From a person who has pride, you keep your distance. And there is a hijab between you and the person who has got pride. May Allah save us of all these diseases. Let us make the proper treatment and correct our lives, inshallah.